Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, May 11th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, new developments in the Prince investigation as the legislature rushes to pass a law to protect his heirs. More boys are being pulled out of a northern Minnesota juvenile detention facility. Curtis Gilbert has more.
The Minnesota Department of Human Services will remove five boys, all wards of the state, from Kids Peace Mesabi Academy. Hennepin, Ramsey, and Clay counties have also announced they're pulling kids from Mesabi Academy in response to a series of stories from APM Reports, the investigative and documentary group at American Public Media. State Human Services Commissioner Emily Johnson Piper says those stories caused concern.
I have an obligation to make sure that the kids under public guardianship are in safe environments.
The stories raised questions about the treatment residents received at Mesabi Academy and also looked at how the facility handled recent allegations of sex abuse. Piper sent letters to several states which have sent boys to Mesabi, alerting them to her decision. The letters also note the Department of Corrections is currently investigating the facility. I'm Curtis Gilbert for APM Reports.
Minnesota Senate Democrats have advanced a package of tax law changes that includes a paid family leave requirement for many businesses. The Senate Tax Committee approved the bill yesterday on a divided voice vote. The family leave mandate requires employers and workers to pay a new tax. DFL leaders combined the provision with several local government tax measures and a list of changes needed to align state and federal tax codes. DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach of Cook says he wants people in all parts of the state to have a family leave benefit.
I think it's important to continue the conversation, or we're going to have a huge patchwork around this state of Minnesotans who have these kind of benefits and Minnesotans who don't. And that just doesn't seem fair.
Republicans and business groups oppose the mandate. A full Senate vote on the tax bill is expected later today. A search warrant from the Carver County Sheriff's Office says a Twin Cities doctor saw Prince the day before he died and had prescribed medication for the pop star. Meanwhile, authorities investigating Prince's death returned to Paisley Park yesterday. Matt Sepik has the latest.
Several unmarked SUVs pulled up at Paisley Park yesterday afternoon, but authorities gave little indication of what investigators were doing there. The Carver County Sheriff's Office said on Twitter only that detectives are revisiting the scene as, quote, a component of a complete investigation, end quote. A search warrant the sheriff's office filed Thursday, which was made public by several media outlets, may shed a sliver of light on that investigation. The document, which seeks Prince's medical records from North Memorial Medical Center, says Dr. Michael Schulenberg saw the musician on April 7th and again on April 20th. The warrant says Schulenberg told a sheriff's deputy he prescribed medications to Prince, but it does not say what the drugs were. According to the warrant, Schulenberg, quote, appeared on the death scene at Paisley Park April 21st when he came to drop off some test results. Schulenberg could not be reached for comment. In a statement, North Memorial says the physician is no longer employed there. Citing medical privacy laws, the health system says it does not discuss any patient information. As for how Prince died, Carver County says that report won't be ready for public release for a couple of weeks. While Prince's sister and half-siblings try to sort out his estate, a Missouri man could throw a wrench in the works. 39-year-old Carlin Q. Williams says he's Prince's son and rightful heir, and he's asking a court for a DNA test to prove paternity. Williams' mother, 60-year-old Marcia J. Henson of Kansas City, said in an affidavit that she had unprotected sex with Prince in July of 1976 and gave birth to Williams 9 months later. Henson could not be reached for comment. Prince's sister, Tyka Nelson, filed papers in the days after her brother's death, stating he left no will and had no known surviving children. But if Williams is found to be Prince's son, University of Minnesota law professor Judith Younger says Williams could claim the keys to the castle.
If he has a descendant under our law and he really did die without a will, then that descendant takes precedence over the people who have survived, the one full sibling and the other half siblings.
Even if Williams proves he's Prince's son and successfully claims heirship, he won't be walking into Paisley Park anytime soon. That's because Williams pleaded guilty to a gun charge in 2013 and isn't scheduled to be released from federal prison for another 4.5 years. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Prince's name, likeness, voice, and even that unpronounceable symbol could be afforded special protection under legislation speeding through the Minnesota legislature. A bill introduced only Monday now awaits a House floor vote. A Senate committee will hear it today. It's meant to head off unauthorized commercial use, but some experts are worried that hasty consideration could pose problems. Brian Baxt has more.
It has been fewer than 3 weeks since the sudden death of Prince at his Paisley Park home and recording studio sent shock and sadness around the globe. And it didn't take long for t-shirts and other merchandise with his image to surface. While the superstar's heirs could go to court to try to prevent strangers from profiting off Prince, it's not entirely clear whether Minnesota law would protect their interests. That's why administrators of Prince's estate are after an emergency update to state law, something they want done before lawmakers head home. Joel Levitin is an attorney for the court-appointed administrator, Bremer Trust, and he appealed for swift action during a House Civil Law Committee hearing.
For better or worse, Prince is the first Minnesota celebrity to reside here, to pass away here, and likely go through probate with a right of publicity that has value. At this point, we are not aware of any will. The lack of clarity as to whether the right of publicity exists after death will further complicate an already difficult probate process, perhaps delaying the proper inheritance for heirs.
According to Levitin, 17 states have similar laws. The various laws to control publicity extend the right for decades or even in perpetuity. The Minnesota bill sets a minimum of 50 years and could extend to a full century. It would apply to anyone, not just celebrities, but it mainly would come into play for those who are famous. As the initial committee hearing showed, there's still some uncertainty about how it would apply in practice. Legislators asked about tributes in the days after Prince's April 21st death, including a GM newspaper ad with a little red Corvette and a message that Prince's life passed too fast. Republican Representative Joe Hoppe of Chaska is the bill's sponsor and responded that the Corvette ad itself was probably okay.
I think the difference would be they did that at one time in memoriam, and I thought it was very tastefully done. That's my opinion. I'm a non-attorney. I think the difference would be if they decided to start selling T-shirts at every Chevrolet dealership in the country. And I think that's the kind of thing that we're after here, that then they would have to, you know, talk to the estate and make sure that that was licensed. And I'm sure they would do that.
What constitutes a likeness is also open to debate. DFL Representative John Lesh of St. Paul had one thing in mind.
What about that little yin-yang glyph? Does he own that, or did he own it at the time? Or if someone wants to put that on a t-shirt, does that qualify as name or likeness?
Probably so, Levitin says. And of course, Prince's fame revolved around his music. Copyright law already protects music from misuse. To University of Minnesota law professor William McGeverin, that's a vital distinction.
You give copyright to brilliant music in order to encourage people to make brilliant music. And Prince's music is under copyright and will be protected for a long time. But rights of publicity aren't necessary to encourage people to become famous. That just happens along the way.
McGeverin is urging lawmakers to take more time considering the ramifications. So is Mitchell Hamlin School of Law professor Sharon Sandin, who specializes in intellectual property. She worked for the California legislature when it passed a similar law and says these laws have vast implications that need careful examination.
We have to be clear why we're doing this. If it's to prevent people from misusing, you know, an honored person's image and reputation and so forth and so on for a reasonable period of time after their death, you know, I'm all for that. If it's to give money to the heirs, you know, multiple generations, I'm wondering why we would do that.
Those go slow messages are likely to collide with the reality that the probate case around Prince's estate is developing quickly, and lawmakers have only 12 more days to meet before they have to adjourn. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.